Chapter 36. The next week was dreadful. Sturva went twice a day to the hospital to inquire after his wife, who still declined to see him, and came away at first relieved and hopeful, because he was told that she seemed to be growing better, and then in despair because the complication which the doctor had feared having ensued recovery was impossible. The nurse was pitiful to his distress, but she had little to say that could console him. The poor woman lay quite still, refusing to speak, with her eyes intent as though she watched for the coming of death. It could now be only a question of a day or two, and when, late one evening, Sturva came to see me, I knew it was to tell me that she was dead. He was absolutely exhausted. His volubility had left him at last, and he sank down wearily on my sofa. I felt that no words of condolence availed, and I let him lie there quietly. I feared he would think it heartless if I read, so I sat by the window smoking a pipe till he felt inclined to speak. "You've been very kind to me," he said at last. "Have I once been very kind?" "Nonsense," I said, a little embarrassed. "At the hospital they told me I might wait. They gave me a chair. And I sat outside the door. When she became unconscious, they said I might go in. Her mouth and chin were all burnt by the acid. It was awful to see her lovely skin, all wounded. She died very peacefully, so that I didn't know she was dead till the sister told me." He was too tired to weep. He lay on his back limply, as though all the strength had gone out of his limbs, and presently I saw that he'd fallen asleep. It was the first natural sleep he'd had for a week. Nature, sometimes so cruel, is sometimes merciful. I covered him and turned down the light. In the morning when I awoke, he was still asleep. He had not moved. His gold-rimmed spectacles were still on his nose.